Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hour numero dos of the Rob Brown Show rolls right here on ESPN Upstate. Rob, Diesel. You, thank you for being a part of the broadcast. We'd love to hear from you. 844-477-3776, 844-GSP-ESPN is the number to call in. Text us at 71307. 71307 is the way to go to text the program. Start your text with ESPN. We'd love to have you on the text line. We'll read them on air. Got a couple of them to jump into here in just a minute. We have also got the Twitter line's open for you. Twitter.com/TheRobBrownShow, at The Rob Brown Show on Twitter, at Diesel on Radio on Twitter, at Diesel on Radio, and, of course, at ESPN Upstate to tweet all of us at the same time. So, let's get on the board and make some fearless predictions about this weekend's matchup in the SEC featuring South Carolina taking on Tennessee right there in Columbia. COVID-19 did its best to stop the SEC, but the SEC has decided to go ahead and play this year. The Vols start with a trip to South Carolina. Since 2006, Tennessee has won one time in South Carolina. Since 2006, Tennessee has won one time in South Carolina. The 2016 loss in particular was the beginning of the end for Butch Jones, a loss which contributed to yet another failure to win a division title. The Vols will not be contending with 80,000 plus this time. It will be closer to the 20,000 mark this go-round, thanks to pandemic restrictions. Tennessee enters the season with a bunch of momentum, however, after closing out 2019 with six consecutive victories. They also have one of the most experienced and talented offensive lines in the conference, even if the SEC doesn't allow Caden Mays to play. There's experience at quarterback for Tennessee as well. Jarrett Guarantano is a fifth-year senior. We'll get the nod against the Gamecocks. Guarantano's resurgence late in 2019 matched his team, so be without Jawan Jennings and Marquez Callaway, but hopes that veterans Josh Palmer and Brandon Johnson will be able to pick up the slack in this one. There's also a group of young and talented receivers who will get opportunities. Last year's Tennessee's QBs touched the Gamecocks for 351 and three touchdowns. They hope the South Carolina secondary is just as accommodating this year, although hard to imagine that it will be quite that easy this year for Tennessee through the air. The big news for South Carolina, obviously, is that Colorado State grad transfer Colin Hill beat out Ryan Helinski for the starting quarterback spot. We've been talking about that for the past week now. Some Gamecocks fans very happy about it. Others, well, not so much. Hill, of course, played under former CSU-turned-Gamecock offensive coordinator Mike Bobo, and will look to connect with Shai Smith. South Carolina, though, however, has lost its top three running backs from a year ago. Marshawn Lloyd, its stud recruit, is also out, which means they will be a showcase combination of Deshaun Fenwick, Kevin Harris, and Jaquandre Wright on Saturday night. Harris is the top returning rusher, but only had 179 yards last year, so a lot of inexperience showing up for the Gamecocks out of the backfield. So what is that going to lead to? Does that mean Tennessee has enough to get it done, or will South Carolina be able to ride a home field advantage that unfortunately doesn't really exist this year for the victory? I have gone back and forth on this one, and Diesel, I'm like you. I'm genuinely struggling to make a pick. I am going with a final prediction of 24-21, Diesel. I just don't know which team I'm assigning to which score yet.
I'm with you. It really could go either way. Hopefully both teams will be better. I mean, you can't get much worse. So given three touchdowns might be a little generous. I don't know. I really just don't know about these teams.
Yeah. You know, it's South Carolina with a big, fat, gigantic question mark attached to the run game, right? Will they be able to run the ball? Will they be? If they can run the ball, then I'll put them next to the 24. But there's just so many questions. I mean, your leading rusher from last year in this game had 179 yards total. What? Come on, man. That's not great. Tennessee did shake the Will Muschamp curse off its back last year when they throttled the Gamecocks 41-21. And despite having more talent, the Vols, however, had previously lost all seven games against him as a head coach. That, of course, includes four at Florida and three at South Carolina. Not great luck for Tennessee against Coach Boom, but this is the shot for them. I don't know, man. I want to make a pick. I don't want to take the coward's way out of here and not make a pick on this one. But this is legitimately, I think, the most could go either way game in the entire Southeastern Conference. For some reason, Diesel, I'm leaning ever so slightly towards picking the Volunteers to grab a second victory over Muschamp. But I could talk myself into South Carolina's defense really getting into the face of Jared Guarantano and creating some situations, maybe a couple of turnovers. And you got a brand new quarterback in an offense that he's comfortable and familiar with Mike Bobo. Maybe Colin Hill comes out and does some stuff. It's hard to lean on so many maybes, though. I've talked myself into it. Diesel, I'm going to go 24-21 Tennessee wins on the road at South Carolina. Good pick. Agree with you totally. 844-477-3776. South Carolina fans calling. Tell me while I'm wrong. I want to hear for you. Let's see. At ESPN, hey, Rob, is a man who likes to bet a little bit, a.k.a. small amounts. I would lay a bet on U of FC with the spread. It will actually be a home game with the number of fans they're letting in. I think if they lose this game, South Carolina football will suck this year. Yeah, I mean, listen, the tone of this year, the tone of this year is very much riding on this game. There's no doubt about it. The tone of this year is very much riding on this game. South Carolina needs this game. Listen, as somebody who is here in the market, as somebody who is here and needs that team to be successful, for me to be successful, I am hoping that South Carolina can get the dub here. I am hoping that South Carolina can get the dub here. This is a huge game. I think this game will set the tone. Let me ask you this, and I've never been to a South Carolina game, so I don't know the answer here. Diesel, you've been to a game at Columbia, yeah?
Yeah, from the press box, though. I haven't been, like, in the stands.
Right, but even having been in a game, is 20,000 fans enough to create a bona fide home field experience? Is it bona fide a three-point home field advantage in the Vegas lines?
Well, I did go to the one game that I went to. Was the App State game last year. And that game got out of control sort of midway through the third quarter, and it looked like App State was going to walk away from it, and a lot of South Carolina fans started streaming out of the stadium. So I think it all depends on how close this game stays into the third quarter. If Tennessee is up by 10 or 14 points, I think a lot of the South Carolina fans are going to start streaming out. You know, you would hope that people would say, oh, man, there's a limited number of chances for me to be in this stadium this year. You know, there's no guarantee that I'm going to be back here next week or 2 weeks from now, next time we have a home game. So I'm going to stay until the clock reads all zeros. I don't know that fan base, as far as I know, as far as I've witnessed and have heard, has a tendency to abandon the team midway through the third quarter if the game's not going well. However, I did see the number of limited number of fans who were still in that stadium rally in a big way late when that game got close. So they all moved down into the lower sections, and obviously they're not going to be able to do that this year because hopefully social distancing will prevail and people won't clump up like we all think they probably will. But that fan base still, as small as the number as I saw them in late in the game, still brought a lot of thunder. And I don't know. If you're already at 20,000 and half stream out midway through the third quarter, 10,000 is not going to give you a whole lot of home field advantage late if you need a late pick-me-up from the crowd.
20,000 is going to give you about a, I'm guessing here, but about a probably 80, 85 decibel noise, which is louder than nothing. But it's not insanely loud, right? So, and this is not South Carolina's fault. This is just the way that the proverbial cookie has crumbled, unfortunately. But the whole thing here is that's not a huge home field advantage. Somebody just texted me and said that they didn't even sell out this game. There's no way that's right. There's no way they didn't sell 20,000 tickets, right? ESPN, fewer fans at Williams-Brice is going to play into the visiting team's favor. Volume won't be there like it normally would be against Tennessee. The number of fans they're letting in, I think, if they lose this SEC football, will suck this year. ESPN, Rob, they didn't even sell out this game. There's no way they didn't sell out this game, right? Yeah, there's
I'm not
no
buying
way.
That.
There's no way. I'm gonna have to look up that during the break. We got to run to a break here. Because the guys from Moving the Chains are going to be joining us here in just a second. They cover college football right here in the upstate. We're going to be talking with them coming up here in just the next segment about the high school games taking place around the upstate today on the broadcast. Let them have a little conversation about exactly who's playing and what it means tonight. But I am going to be spending a few minutes. I got to find out because if there is a if they didn't sell out that if they didn't sell out 20,000 tickets, I'm gonna be shocked. I'm gonna be shocked by that. All right, let's go ahead and run to a break. When we come back here in just a minute, we will be joined by a couple of guys who are gonna be talking on the show with us. Mr. Kevin Thomas will be hanging out with us as we talk a little high school football. That's coming up next on the Rob Brown Show. You're listening to ESPN Upstate.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. The Rob Brown Show is right here on your radio. It's ESPN Upstate, 22 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. And as promised, time to talk a little high school football. Big games coming up this week. Greer at Greenville, Greenwood at Lawrence, Burns at Spartanburg, Malden at Hillcrest, Eastside at TR, and a whole lot more. And to talk about that, I'm bringing in a couple of gentlemen that I've made friends with off the air, and of course, glad to have them on the air now as well. They run a site called Moving the Chains, which you can find them on Twitter at twitter.com/moving, no G, Moving the Chains. Facebook.com/movingthechains. They're also on YouTube, Instagram, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, SpotifyRadio.com, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. My man Kevin Thomas is with us. My man John Epps is with us. Fellas, what's happening, y'all? Happy football season.
Rob, dude, it is time to play some football, man. I'm so pumped for tonight.
Yeah, high school football. You know, there's been question marks. We didn't know if we were going to be getting high school football. We didn't know if it'd be happening in the area, around the country at all. And here we are with a slate of five games right here in the upstate. So, guys, I just want to hand the reins to y'all. Unfortunately, I don't have a ton of experience with high school football. This is going to be my first weekend getting into it. Walk the people through some high school football this weekend, fellas.
Yeah, you know, Rob, this year with this kind of being delayed about 4 weeks back from where we usually start, that means week one is super important. You know, the way the regions are getting restructured with the playoffs and whatnot, you're seeing, you know, at most two teams making the playoffs out of each region. So if you play a region game week one and you lose, you're behind the eight ball. So that's why, you know, John, I put together some of these bigger games here to kind of talk about in the update in week one. The game that we'll be at tonight, Greer and Greenville, huge 4A matchup. You know, John, kind of give us some background on last year if you got it, and we'll kind of talk about that game and go through that one.
Yeah, so last year this game was played at Greer High. Greenville came away with a shutout in that game, winning 16-0, and that was en route for a very good season for Greenville. Last year they won 10 games. They went 10-3, made it to the third round. And Greer, on the other hand, you look at them on paper, you know, they got shut out in this game last year. They went 4-8, but they still made it to the playoffs. They pulled off an upset in the first round, and what both Greenville and Greer have in common from last year, their season both ended at the hands of state champs Wren in the playoffs. So Greer, they come into the state preseason poll number 8 in the top 10 poll, Greenville 4th. So it should be a really good game between these two.
You know, there's a lot of good talent on both of these teams. You know, Greer's got a couple kids, Jaleel Skinner, getting some big-time looks as a tight end. Got a lot of big offers already from South Carolina, FSU, LSU, and the like. Greenville has a big-time lineman, Colin Sadler, getting a lot of offers from Clemson and SC and Bama and whatnot. This game is going to be very interesting. You see, you know, both teams are kind of replacing their quarterback. Greer's got a kid, Hollis, who's back. Played a little bit last year, very athletic for them. And then you look at Greenville, you know, they're losing their quarterback. Goodman goes on the collegiate level. They got a Franklin kid who should be pretty solid there. The big thing that Greenville got going for them is they got a couple big recruits coming up from Hillcrest, the Scott brothers, A-Season Aries, really good talent for them on the defensive line. John, what do you think is going to happen this year? How do you think this game is going to play out tonight?
You know, I think with this game being in Greenville, it's going to be, you know, comfortable for the Red Raiders, getting to play at home. They're coming off a really, really good season. And I think, you know, both of them have a lot of talent with Sadler, Greenville on the offensive line, and then Jaden Collins, a 12th grader. He's actually a Wake Forest commitment, offensive tackle for Greer. I think that's going to help both teams out, being able to get some good blocking up front. But I think I like Greenville in this game. I think they're just the better program right now. I think this is going to be a really close game. I think it'll be a one-score game. I don't think we'll see 16-0 again, but I think it will be a game that Greenville is able to pull out toward the end. I think they just have a little bit better talent, and they're just in a little bit better shape right now.
Yeah, I think they got a few more pieces coming back than Greer does. So at the end of the year, it's maybe a different story as far as who's better. But week one, you got to lean on the team with a little more experience. That's Greenville. Let's move on to Greenwood at Lawrence, John. Both in 4A this year. Lawrence drops down. Lawrence was a very good 5A program last year, taking a step down to 4A. They're ranked 10th in the preseason poll. Greenwood is ranked 6th. Lawrence won last year by 2 scores. You know, this is a kind of an odd game here because Lawrence, like they had a great year last year, their head coach, Chris Liner, is going to actually take over as the head coach of Greenwood this year. So, big change there. What do you like out of this ball game here, John?
Yeah, it's going to be a really exciting game. And this game kind of wraps up what is going to be so exciting about the high school football season this year. You've got two teams in Greenwood and Lawrence. They were both pretty good 5A teams last year. And now they both find themselves down the class in 4A. And really big props to the rest of 4A. They come in ranked 6th and 10th in the state. So we're talking about two basically 5A schools. They're not even the top five, either one, not a top five team in the state, down to 4A. And Lawrence is a team, they went 9-2 last year. You know, they went to the second round of the playoffs. Yep. Greenwood was a 6-5 team. They made it to the playoffs as well. Both of them getting knocked out. Lawrence getting knocked out by Burns, and then Greenwood getting knocked out by Dorman in the first round. So they, you know, they lost to two really, really good programs in the playoffs too. But I think these are two high quality teams, and it's cool they'll be in 4A this year, mixing it up with everybody else in that class.
You know, my favorite player in that game is probably the quarterback at Lawrence, James Raw. That kid has the potential to be a, you know, either group of five or power five quarterback here in the future. Throws a really good ball, really athletic. You got to wonder, at least I do, how much, you know, Coach Liner going from Lawrence to Greenwood, you know, how much of an advantage does that give Greenwood as far as knowing some of, you know, the players that Lawrence has had? Or do the Lawrence kids come out fired up that, you know, kind of they want to beat their old coach? It's going to be a kind of a toss-up there for me.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I'm completely guessing here. I could be way off. But I think getting to host at least your first game with everything that's going on, how weird and different everything is, getting to host and getting to play at your home stadium, not having to get on a bus and go through all the protocols and, you know, being careful and thinking about really – thinking about things other than the football game. And I think getting to host, you know, especially for Lawrence in this game tonight, having a little bit more comfortability going into the game, I think could play big. Whether it makes a difference or not, who knows? We'll see tonight. But I think that will help out Lawrence and all the home teams this week.
One thing I'm looking into is just I wonder how much of a home field an advantage there will actually be this season with, you know, so few fans. I know it's like, you know, 12%, 13%, whatever it is. How much is it actually going to affect teams? Who really knows? That's kind of up for debate still. Let's move on now to a big 5A matchup, a region matchup between Burns and Spartanburg. John, give us kind of a background on that game last year and how those two teams turned out.
Yeah, so this was – last year was not your classic Burns-Spartanburg kind of game. You expect two big-time historic programs to really be – going toe-to-toe at it, and Burns ended up just blowing out Spartanburg last year. The talent gap was pretty wide, and it might be pretty wide again this year. You know, Burns won that game 41-3 last year at Nixon Field. Spartanburg's coming off a 3-7 season. Burns 11-2, which they made it to the third round. So Burns, you know, clearly the much better program right now. But Kevin, Spartanburg's got a different coaching staff this year, and maybe things turn around a little bit for the Vikings.
Yeah, you know, longtime Spartanburg coach Chris Miller is now gone. They have hired Mark Hodge away from Chapman. He's won multiple state championships over there at Chapman, had a great program over there in Inman, and it's a 3A level. So to step up to the 5A level is a little bit different test here for him, but it's interesting to see how that turns out for him. Burns has kind of had a resurgence the last couple of years. Under Coach Reggie Shaw, they've had some good teams there the last several years. But this year, they lose their quarterback. They lose Lawrence Scott. They lose their running back. They lose Rajay Harris. They lose Chris Bird. They lose Buddy Mack. They lose their offensive coordinator, Jordan Gura, going over to Easley as the coach. Interesting to see how that team kind of works in offense. They've got a very good offensive line, maybe one of the best in the state, led by Eli Henderson, an Arkansas commit. They've kind of got a bigger quarterback this year, Braden Blackman. I think he's going to lean more on the running game this year. I think the Rebels will have done in the past. And I think that offense is going to be tough to stop on the ground for sure.
Yeah, and this is going to be, you know, you look at this game on paper, Kevin, and you got the number five team in the state in Burns going to the new stadium in Spartanburg tonight. And you think, oh, wow, Burns is going to blow them out. But there's so much unknowns, I think, on both sidelines tonight. You talk about Burns losing a lot of their leadership, a lot of their talent from last year's 11-2 squad. And then Spartanburg coming in with new Coach Hodges. And if you guys have listened to any of us the past few years, I love the way Chapman plays football the last few years under Hodge. You know, they have a little bit of edge to them, a little bit of nastiness to them. And they play with a lot of attitude, we'll say. And I'll be interested to see if, you know, does that translate over to Spartanburg? Or is that more just a Chapman culture itself? I think that'll be cool to see tonight in that game. No matter how it turns out, you know, I still expect Burns to win that game, but how do these two teams look?
Yeah, this is a game you can catch tonight on ESPN Upset. Obviously, you guys know that. Listen here on 97.7, 97.1. You know, I have been very intrigued to see Swartberg has some good players. They have Seth Smith, the quarterback there. He's a good athlete. They got Raheem Jeter coming over from Greer, another good quarterback with some offers, a younger kid there. I think Burns will win, but it'll be interesting to see what Swartberg and Coach Hodge have this season. Now, let's look at one of the sneaky underrated games for me this week, John. Eastside at Travelers Rest. You know, last year, both teams made the playoffs. Eastside 8-3, Travelers Rest 8-3. Travelers Rest kind of seen a resurgence last couple years. This game features, in my opinion, John, one of the most fun teams and one of the most fun players to watch in the Upstate, and that is Marshall Skolal, the quarterback at Eastside.
Absolutely. And this Eastside team, I got to watch them play last year. They were one of the most exciting teams in all the Upstate. Just the way they play offense, the way this quarterback, how talented he is, how he conducts himself on the field. It's very impressive group at Eastside on the offensive side of the ball. And this game, if we get anything like we got last year, it will be a really good game to go to. Eastside won 45-34. So a big, you know, high-scoring shootout between these two teams, two really good teams last year as well. So hopefully we get more of the same tonight up in TR.
Yeah, that should be a good one. You know, I think Eastside returns, I think, 12 starters. TR has about 13 coming back. So a lot of experience on both sides of the ball there for both teams. So it'll be fun to see that game turns out. Like a lot of offense there. So if you want some points, that's probably the game to try to go to tonight over in Greenville County. And then our final game of the week, John, another one of my personal favorites here, because just that you teams usually play twice a year, and this year only once because of the shortened schedule, but always a very competitive ball game. That's the Golden Strip rivalry between Malden and Hillcrest. Playing over at Hillcrest High School tonight. Both these teams, you know, they haven't had the best teams in the past few years. They always make the playoffs, but they never like make a deep run. You know, Hillcrest won a state championship 5, 6, 7 years ago, whatever that was now. But the last couple years, the teams have been kind of hovering around 500. They'll make the playoffs. That's about it. But, John, these two teams may have as much talent as anybody will see this year. Just look at some of the college offers these guys.
Yeah, especially with Malden. You know, the Malden secondary is going to be tough. You know, it'll be interesting to see who can contest Malden with having a better secondary. You've got Jaden Lucas at cornerback. Most of these guys are 11th graders, by the way. He's already a 4-star Rivals athlete listed as a 6'2 cornerback. He's getting offers already from Clemson, Alabama, South Carolina, LSU, Georgia, and Florida State. And then at safety, you've got a 3-star, Deuce Caldwell, who's already gotten an offer from Ole Miss. So a ton of talent in the secondary for Malden. And it'll be cool to see because I think, Kevin, both of these teams were pretty even last year. Malden went 6-6. They got in the playoffs. Hillcrest went 5-5. They missed the playoffs. But Hillcrest, they swept the series last year. They won 28-7 and 23-6. So you got to think Malden's looking for a little bit of revenge this year.
Yeah, you know, and you didn't even mention some of the offensive guys that Malden has back. Wide receiver Jameson Tucker, I think he's got some offers from, I think, Coastal and a couple other schools. George Ford back at running back. Plus, he's got some new coach. Their coach left to take over at Chapman. Coach Cabanis did. They've hired Sayer Naismith from the defensive coordinator position for them last year. So, good returning team for Malden for sure. Hillcrest, second year under Coach Anthony Frady. You know, they're going to have their work cut out for them. They replaced a lot on the offensive side. And like you said, that team swept the series last year. I just don't know if they've got enough coming back to beat Malden here in game one tonight.
Yeah, you know, and this will be, given the amount of practice that all these schools have had, again, a lot like we saw with college football last few weeks, and NFL to a degree as well. There's a lot of unknowns in these first games. And when you have a lot of these unknowns, what I think you lean on is just your pure athletic ability and your talent. And I think between Malden and Hillcrest, Malden has more of that. And I think that could be what makes the difference in this first game tonight between the two.
Outstanding. Yeah, most of these games we've mentioned. Go ahead, Rob. Sorry.
No, after you, Kevin. Go ahead and wrap up, guys.
No, I was going to say, you know, most of the thing we mentioned about all these games, these are all region contests. I mean, these teams, they've got to come out hot, they got to come out firing, they got to win week one, so they won't be behind the eight ball for the rest of the year.
Yeah, shortened season. That's obviously right. We saw the impact of a shortened season on college ball and even shorter season for high school. Kevin Thomas, John Epps joining us here on the show. They are both from Moving the Chains. You can find them on Facebook at facebook.com/movingthechains. No G in there, just Moving the Chains. Twitter, same address, Moving the Chains. Also on YouTube, Instagram, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, radio.com, et cetera, et cetera. Fellas, great to have you guys along to talk a little high school football. We will do this every week if it's good with y'all because some tremendous high school football here in the upstate. We're looking forward to talking more about it. I appreciate you guys.
Thanks, Rob.
Love it, Rob. We'll see you soon.
Yes, you will. Hopefully on a golf course, hopefully in a high school football setting. That's, again, John Epps, Kevin Thomas. You can follow them at Moving the Chains on Twitter and Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, radio.com, et cetera. Check them out. They are fantastic. Fantastic dudes. Those are golfing buddies of me and Diesel. And also the best high school sports coverage you're going to find here in the upstate. Quick break. We come back. We wrap up hour number two and sprint towards hour number three on a Friday. The Rob Brown Show's on your radio. It's ESPN Upstate.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back. The Rob Brown Show's right here on your radio. It's ESPN Upstate. We talked college schedule back in hour number one. Take a look at your NFL schedule. Obviously, last night we saw the Jaguars and the Dolphins get into it. 31-13, the Dolphins win. Gardner Minshew just could not get comfortable. Just could not get comfortable in the pocket, which was wildly disappointing. Gardner Minshew is one of my favorite players to watch play. The guy just looks like he just looks like and is always kind of seeming to have a bunch of fun. Last night, unfortunately for him, he just never really got comfortable inside of that pocket for the Jags and therefore struggled a little bit. 275 through the air for the mustachioed miracle. We'll see if his Jags can bounce back. I suspect that they will not because, frankly, the Jags ownership's a joke, all right? The Jags ownership is just a joke, and it sucks, but it is what it is. Anyway, some other games coming up this weekend that I wanted to get into. We got Chicago taking on Atlanta. This one going to be back in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome, the Falcons, or Mercedes-Benz Dome there in Atlanta. They will be very happy to be back home after the epic collapse that they suffered last weekend on the road in Arlington, Texas, when the Dallas Cowboys Absolutely. Came back from behind and just crushed the spirits of the Atlanta Falcons. A massively, massively disappointing result there after they were up 20-0 at halftime and gave up 16 points in the final 5 minutes of that series. A very, very upsetting final for the Atlanta Falcons. They're back against Chicago. Chicago, on the other hand, not looking terribly bad on the football field right now. They've been getting some things done. They are 2-0 right there with Green Bay for the lead in the NFC North. They have knocked off, of course, the Lions and the Giants, so not exactly a who's who of squads, but they both of them were relatively good wins. I mean, the Giants game last week, they lost Saquon Barkley towards the half, so the Giants weren't exactly the same team that they would have been if Saquon was running well, and of course the Lions are the Lions. This is a game that Atlanta has to win. I don't think they have a choice here. If they cannot get this one done, Dan Quinn has bigger things to worry about. LA Rams at the Buffalo Bills. I like Buffalo in this game, guys. I like Buffalo in this game. I think that they are finally finding some offensive chemistry. I think they are finally getting to the point. Stephon Diggs is fitting in very, very well. Josh Allen's getting to the point that he is learning to trust his offense, and I love and appreciate that. This is impressive. I like this Bills team. This Rams team, on the other hand, has been struggling something mighty. They obviously offensively aren't what they used to be. Will they be able to get it pointed in the right direction? We will find out this weekend. Washington football team on the road at Cleveland. Give me the land. Give me Believeland in this one. If there was a game set up for Cleveland to win, this is it. The Washington football team is quickly becoming the Washington football team again. Cleveland, on the other hand, I told you guys coming in, I thought this was a 500 football team this year. I thought this was a football team that could get to 8-8 this year. And this is one of those games they have to make that happen. So I like Believeland in this one. Let's run to a break. We'll come back here in just a minute. We'll wrap up our 1 o'clock games, take you all the way through the Sunday nightcap to wrap up the hour. Coming up in hour number 3, we'll talk to Colin Bester of NASCAR, get a little NASCAR talking here as we're set for race number 3 in the playoffs headed to Las Vegas. All that and more coming up on the Rob Brown Show. This is ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Wrapping up hour number 1, taking a look at the NFL games over the weekend as we head towards our Sunday night. And it's a good one in the NFL. We've gotten down through most of the 1 o'clock games. Got a few more. Tennessee is at Minnesota. I don't know who I like in this game, to tell you the truth. I'm back and forth on both of these teams overall. I thought Tennessee coming in has the potential. And, I mean, they are 2-0, but at the Broncos and versus the Jags, isn't a super stellar strong 2-0? It's not an ugly 2-0 either. And then, of course, from them, you've got the Minnesota Vikings. This is a Vikings team that went out there and started real strong against the Packers, but then just farted it away and couldn't get anything going against the Colts. I mean, I'm going to take the Titans in this one. I don't think it's a I don't think it's a blowout by any stretch, but I will take the Titans in this matchup. Las Vegas is at New England in a 1 o'clocker on Sunday. This one's interesting, too, I think for two reasons. Number one, the Raiders have looked very, very good this season, and obviously that blowout win over the Saints on Monday night made them look even better. The problem, and this is the problem that I think they have, they showed their hand, right? They showed their hand, and their hand is named Darren Waller, a big tight end. They showed their hand going up against Bill Belichick, and now Belichick has got a week to scheme, a short week to scheme against what the Las Vegas Raiders want to do. But I'm going to go, if we got the extra time, then I think that we can, lean on Bill Belichick, and as well as Cam Newton is playing right now. I don't know. I'm going to pick the Raiders. I was trying to talk myself into picking the Patriots, to tell you the truth. I was trying to talk myself into picking Cam Newton because I want Cam Newton to be successful, right? I want Cam Newton to be successful because I want the people around here who dog Cam Newton to have to live with watching him succeed elsewhere. And I think he deserved going somewhere and succeeding. But that Raiders team that I saw last weekend looked about as good as you could ask. Raiders win on the road at New England. San Francisco is at the Giants. This would be an easy pick if both teams were at full speed, but San Francisco is missing a lot of players from last week. The G-men, however, missing Saquon Barkley, and that's good enough to be the difference for me. Give me the 49ers. Give me the 49ers on the road over the G-men. Cincinnati is at Philly. Philly, what in the world is going on with the Eagles? 0-2 in a pair of blowout losses, including one to the Washington football team. What in the world is going on with the Philadelphia Eagles right now? There's no way that I can pick Philly at this point. I am taking Joe Burrow and the Bengals to get the dub on the road at Philly. I mean, statistically speaking, it doesn't make sense that Philly would go 0-3 at this point. But I'm not betting against Joe Burrow. I'm not doing it. Joe Burrow and his Bengals went on the road at Philly and shocked the NFC least. Let's go to Houston at Pittsburgh to wrap up our 1 o'clock games. Give me the Steelers. Look, I love me some Deshaun Watson, and I do hope that Deshaun Watson is able to turn things around because, look, at some point, Houston's going to get sideways, no doubt about it. I like Pittsburgh in this one. Big Ben has looked better. That Steelers team offensively has started to find its flow. They are 2-0, had a heck of a game against the Broncos last week. They laid it on the Giants the week before that. I see no reason to think that the momentum stops. Now, give me the Steelers over the Texans. Coming up to open up the next hour, we'll hit your 4 o'clock games. There are a host of 4:05 and 4:25 games to talk about. We'll get your Sunday nighter out of the way with Green Bay and New Orleans. We'll make picks for all of those. And, of course, start looking forward to Monday night's matchup. Kansas City and Baltimore is going to be interesting. Talk about that coming up later on. Yeah, a lot of good stuff going on in the NFL, all of which we will take a look at coming up in the next hour. And once we do, then we will be joined by Colin Bester of NASCAR coming up at 2:20. At 2:20, we will talk to Colin Bester from NASCAR. We'll talk a little racing with him as we're in the playoffs after Bristol last weekend. We'll head over to Las Vegas, so that's coming up very soon. Of course, we've also got coming up at the end of the hour, Twitter trending topics to kill off our Friday afternoon show. So that's what's coming up in the third hour of the show. I hope you will join us. 844-477-3776, 844-GSP-ESPN is the number. Text us at 71307. Start your text with ESPN at 71307. You can tweet me at The Rob Brown Show, at The Rob Brown Show, at Diesel on Radio, at ESPN Upstate. All those are ways to get in touch with the show. Quick break back after this. You're listening to The Rob Brown Show. You're listening to ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.